Please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8, and I'll be reading verses 28 through 34. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. When He had come to the other side, to the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met Him as they came out of the tombs. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. Suddenly, they shouted, "What do you have to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" A long way off from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. "If you drive us out," the demons begged, "send us into the herd of pigs." "Go," He told them. So when they had gone out, they entered the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the water. Then the men who tended them fled. They went into the city and reported everything, especially what had happened to those who were demon-possessed. At that, the whole town went out to meet Jesus. When they saw Him, they begged Him to leave their region. You may be seated. Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verses in the gospel. Jesus had been at Capernaum. He had healed all diseases that were brought to Him. He cast out demons. And then Jesus got in a boat with His disciples to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. About 6 miles away is a little area of the Gadarenes, a small community. And so as the time they're heading across, Jesus is sleeping in the boat. And the disciples are fishermen, many of them. They've been out on the sea before. And a storm comes up. Now, this storm is not unusual on the Sea of Galilee. It's the design of the geography of the land. The Sea of Galilee, the surface of the water is about 600 feet below sea level. So you go, how can the surface be 600 feet below? Well, the Mediterranean Sea is up here. Then you got the mountains in between, and the Sea of Galilee is down here. So it's below Mediterranean sea level, and all around it are high mountains, except for a little pass. And the wind whips down that pass, stirs up the sea, and it becomes very violent. The disciples see this violent storm. They see Jesus sleeping. And they're afraid. Jesus is sleeping because He knows that nothing's going to happen to stop the plan of forgiveness that He's bringing. The disciples have just seen Jesus' miraculous power over all sickness, over the demon-possessed. Somebody move the tissue box further away. Okay. And the disciples didn't quite get the power of Jesus. And they're scared. They knew if anyone could do anything, Jesus could. And they go to Jesus and ask Jesus, "Save us. We're going to perish." Which is a great spiritual comment. Because without the salvation that Jesus brings, we're all going to perish because of our sins. But here they thought they're physically going to perish. Jesus stands up. And He rebukes the wind and the sea, and it gets suddenly calm. Now, the disciples have been in these storms before. They've seen the storms calm, but not just go from up and down to flat. If you've ever been on a stormy water body, it doesn't get calm over a few seconds. It generally slows down as the winds die down. Well, it went from high waves that were crashing over the boat, swamping it, to water skiing calm. If you know what water skiing calm is, it's perfectly flat like a mirror. Now, if you've water skied, and I haven't in a long time, but when it's real choppy, you know, it really messes with your legs because you're going up and down. But that smooth, it's just, it's nice, easy to water ski. And Jesus turned the water from a stormy sea to a calm sea. And the disciples were amazed. But they still didn't understand who Jesus was. What kind of man is this, they say, that even the winds and the waves obey him? And now they come to the other side, to the area of the Gadarenes, and that's on about 6 miles away across the lake at the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. And they're met by two demon-possessed men. Now, in the parallel account in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, it only talks about one man. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't a second man here in Mark and Luke. It just focuses on one man. Maybe one of the two was more outspoken. But we look at the situation, and two demon-possessed men come out to meet Jesus. And it says, if we look in our parallel accounts in Mark and Luke, they were so violent, they had tried to chain them up, but the demons broke the chains. It was so violent, it tells us here in this passage, that they wouldn't let anybody pass by the tombs. It was not a safe place because these people were inhabiting the tombs. Now, the tombs, you can go there today and look at some of these tombs from this area. There were two rooms. The first room was where you did your funeral ritual, and then you went back further into another room, and that's where you put the remains of the person that had died. And so this first room would be a room that those that wanted to get away from everybody, didn't want anybody to be with them, could go and inhabit. Jewish law says that if you touch a dead body, you're unclean. So it gave a place for these demon-possessed men who wanted to be left alone to be left alone. And they were there in the tombs, and they shouted at Jesus, "What will you do with us?" And a parallel pastor say, because Jesus had said, "Come out of them." And they're afraid that Jesus is going to send them into the abyss. Now, let me tell you a little bit about who the demons are. Jesus created all things. Demons and angels were created beings. They were all created to serve God. But Satan, one of the, if you will, four-star general angels of heaven, decided he didn't like being under the authority of God, and he led a revolt against God. It even describes Satan as being like the music director of heaven. Well, he didn't like being music director. He wanted to be the king of heaven. And he was able to convince a third of the holy angels that were in the presence of God to rebel against God. They lost. They got kicked out of heaven. They still have to go back to heaven to report to God about what they're doing. They still understand that God is the one in authority. And they understand that there's going to be a final judgment, that they're going to be thrown into the abyss at the end of God's time with them. And that's what the demons are saying. Have you come to torment us before that time of judgment? We're out on parole right now, or we're out on waiting for our date to be put into the prison of the abyss. Are you putting us in early? Jesus has the authority over the demons. Turn with me for a moment to James chapter 2. Now, demons and angels are much more powerful than we are. Stronger. They've been around a long time. But the demons, the fallen angels, they've already been judged. Their sentence has been decreed. We are waiting for the judgment for what we do with God's offer of forgiveness. James chapter 2 and verse 19. Look at what James says here. You believe that God is one. Good. Even the demons believe and they shudder. The demons showed a fear and respect and awe of God that most people do not. We are going to face God, every one of us. Hebrews 9:27, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. We are all going to face judgment. Now, I brought a little of my show and tell today. We got the Ten Commandments here. And remember, the Ten Commandments are part of what we're going to be judged by. Let's see how you do. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Has God always been first place in your life? Every day, your entire life. If not, you've broken the first commandment. Second commandment, thou shalt not make any graven image. Have you ever made a false god? And you could even call that false god Jesus. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, my Jesus would never condemn that sin. My Jesus would never send anybody to hell. And you're right. Because your Jesus is a figment of your imagination. The Jesus of the Bible is the one that condemns sin and sends people to hell, but provides a way that they can avoid it. Number three, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Have you ever used God's name as a punctuation mark? Have you ever heard somebody pray? It's sort of like, just like this. It's like God can't pay attention to us. Dear God, and he's wondering, God, remember my name. God, it's like he keeps drifting off, sort of like some of us do sometimes, especially some of our students. And this is come back, Johnny, come back. Look at what I'm trying to teach you. We tend to drift off. God doesn't. And sometimes when we use God's name as a punctuation mark, we're not honoring God's name. And then, have you always taken one day out of seven to worship God and rest? Doesn't matter what day. Because Scripture tells us that some honor one day more than another. Don't let somebody judge you on the day you worship. Have you always honored your parents? Have you ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? Have you ever lied? Have you ever been so angry with someone that you want something bad to happen? Jesus said that's the same as murder. Have you ever lusted? That's the same as adultery. Have you ever coveted? That's wanting something somebody else has. And we have a whole industry in the world trying to get us to covet. Look at this new car. Nothing's wrong with yours, but you need the new one because it's got this. Well, I don't really need that. Well, the Ten Commandments show us that we are guilty before God. The demons understand they are guilty before God and they are going to be punished. And they're trembling at the authority, at the knowledge of God. And they're angry too. He's going to send us to the abyss. We're going to take as many down with him as possible. And they're inhabiting these two men. And it tells us that there were so many of them, they called themselves legion. And one of the parallel accounts says there were over 2,000 pigs. So we know there's a bunch of demons in these two men. Well, we need to understand the authority of God. We are guilty under God's law. We are going to face a holy God. Are the demons going to tremble and we're going to thumb our nose at God? Most people are in our society today. They know that God exists. Romans chapter 1 tells us that. They suppress their wickedness. They know the truth about God because God has made it plain to them that his existence. I don't care that God exists, most of the people in the world said. And people jokingly say, well, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell where all my friends are. Well, hell's going to be a place you're in total darkness, you're alone, and you're in torment in the lake of fire. Dark and fire, alone, all eternity to think about. You had a choice, and you chose no. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are in a spiritual war. Jesus showed his disciples in our account here in Matthew of his power, his authority, and he is the one that is going to make the final judgment in that spiritual war. Now, we got the Ten Commandments. We're guilty. But over here, we got the armor of God. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. And then it goes on to describe each part of the armor of God. God gives us this. We can withstand and stand where God has called us to stand. Doesn't tell us to run. Tells us to stand. And the shield can withstand all the fiery darts of the evil one. Just read on in Ephesians chapter 6 later. Jesus had the authority. And he tells the demons, go. Go into the pigs. Now, why did the demons want to go into pigs? Doesn't tell us. We can speculate. Pigs were an unclean animal that Jewish people were not supposed to eat. And the demons might have thought, well, Jesus is not going to let us go in and have permission to go into somebody else. There's pigs. They're mobile. And Jesus, being a Jew by heritage, would know that pigs were unclean. So let's look at that. Maybe Jesus will say okay to that. That's much better than being thrown into the abyss. Or it could have been that the demons were trying to thwart Jesus' plan. And if we go and destroy the pigs, then people will want to hurt Jesus because he killed their livelihood. Don't know. Doesn't tell us. You can speculate, but that's all we can do. But we know that Jesus had the authority. Look with me at Luke chapter 11 for a minute. Jesus is discussing with some of the religious leaders about casting out demons. And look what he says in Luke 11:20. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And Jesus is casting out demons. He's saying the kingdom of God is here. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 19 for a moment. It's sad and funny at the same time. Jews were trying to cast out demons. And sometimes they were successful. But sometimes they weren't. Look at verse 13 of Acts 19. Now some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I command you, by the Jesus that Paul preaches, seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of that house naked and wounded. These sons of Sceva, Jewish exorcists, didn't have the authority that Jesus did. And the demon said, we know Jesus, and we recognize Paul has the authority to cast us out, but who are you? And beat him up and sent him out without their clothes and had been ripped off by this demon-possessed man. Jesus, however, said, go, and they went. The pigs rushed down a steep bank. Now, it doesn't mean a cliff. They didn't jump over the edge of a cliff. If you go to this area today, there's a very steep slope. Now, if you've ever tried to run down a steep hill, it's hard to stop when you get to the bottom of the hill. At the bottom of that hill is only a little beach, just a very narrow beach. Not enough room to stop after you run down the hill. And they all ran into the lake, over 2,000 of the sheep, not the sheep, the pigs. And what did the people do that were watching the sheep, the pigs? Pigs, not sheep. Okay. They were watching the pigs, and they ran off and ran into town and told what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And then the people from town came out. In Luke chapter 8, verse 37, it tells us they were afraid. Now, they weren't mad at Jesus. Scripture doesn't tell us. Well, look at that. Look at how much financial cost you made. Scripture doesn't say that. It says they were afraid. They'd seen the power. They'd seen what happened. And in Mark and Luke, it tells us they saw the demon-possessed man dressed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to him. And what did they do? Tell us more. We have seen your power. No. We don't want to hear anything. Just go away. Leave us alone. We saw your power. We know there's a judgment day coming, but leave us alone. Don't remind us that we're sinners. Go away. In our world today, everybody knows there's a God. But most people say, go away. I don't want to hear there's a God. I don't want to find out more. The demon-possessed man wanted to know more. He wanted to go with Jesus when Jesus got back in the boat. He said, no, go to your home. Tell him what God has done for you. And he went back to his hometown and began telling about what Jesus had done for him. We're living in a world that doesn't want to hear about God. We're living in a world like that town. Just go away. Don't remind me of the truth. Most people are not angry when you witness to them. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to be confronted with the truth. Now, some people respond in what seems like anger, but they just want to be left alone and ignore the judgment that's coming. The demons understood there's a judgment coming. James, as it says in James 2:19, and they tremble or shudder at the thought of the power of God. How can we not take notice of the power of God? We are in a spiritual warfare. We are facing a judgment. But God has given us all the resources to deal with everything we face. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will meet all your needs according to the power of Jesus Christ. Everything. God has given us everything we need. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Put on the full armor of God that God has given you. Stand your ground. And Satan's the one that runs. We have the words of hope. We know our future is secure if we're a Christian because we've been forgiven. Do not be like the town of the Gadarenes. Just go away. I don't want to hear what God has to say anymore. But let us, as it said in Matthew 5, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Be like the demon-possessed man that was cleansed of the demons, that sat at Jesus' feet wanting to learn more. You have the choice. God's not going to make you listen to him until you get to judgment day. And you'll either hear, enter into heaven or depart from me, I never knew you. And even some people that Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, will argue with Jesus that Jesus is wrong. Matthew 7:21 tells us that. They're arguing with Jesus on judgment day. But didn't we do everything we were supposed to? No, I never knew you. And then we have a job to do. Our job is to go and tell people how they can be with us in heaven. We can't make people accept the truth. Well, we can tell them the truth. And you can do it just by giving them a tract. You can leave those anywhere you go. Make the tract rack empty, because I know where to order more. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for the forgiveness you poured out on us. Let us choose to learn more about you. Let us remember to put on the full armor that you have given us so that we can stand our ground against everything that comes our way. Remembering that we are in a spiritual war. Remembering that the consequences of that war is where we're going to spend eternity. And let us share with others. There is a day coming, and there's forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.